Blog Talk Radio. All right. Amen. 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 Happy Feast of Pentecost, family. Peace and blessings. All right. I'm going to open up the mics here. Shalom, my sister. Happy Pentecost.
Thank you. Happy Pentecost to you as well.
Amen. To each and every one on the
line. I'm a brother, too.
Happy Pentecost.
Pentecost.
All right, amen, amen. Happy Citizenship Day. This is,
amen.
Wow, the day that the Most High released his spirit on the world. And this is the day that we celebrate it. And the day that everybody in the world had the opportunity to come into the kingdom. We're going to look at that tonight because we're going to actually celebrate the feast. And, you know, this gives you, you know, we're going to do it tomorrow evening because it gives you a chance. If you want to cook a meal, you can cook a meal to eat, to celebrate with. It is a feast. We're also going to celebrate Messiah,
Amen.
Our King, because without him, this would not be possible. So he has to be the focus. He has to be the focus. I want to teach on this evening Yeshua, our Redeemer and our Savior. We see that the Most High said he was doing all of this. And we have to understand that Messiah is the Most High Elohim in flesh.
Yeah.
But I want you to know me as the Son. I don't want you to forget the work that I did as the Son, even though you realize who I am. Can never erase this position and what the Most High has done. So let us do our statement of faith. So let me have the ladies to cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandment, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise for just being who he is and for his Pentecost, which he has provided to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today.
Thank you for this Pentecost.
Hallelujah. Delivering us and offering us a way into your kingdom, God. You made a way where there was no way. Hallelujah. We just thank you for it. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Father. You're so wonderful to us.
Praise our great Elohim.
You're so wonderful to us. Hallelujah. You look down and you save a wretch like me. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Let us go to Jeremiah chapter 31.
Jeremiah
31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 1. At the same time, saith Yah, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yah, the people were left of the sword found great in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yah has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou again shall be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto Yah, our Elohim. For thus saith Yah, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nation. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return hither or thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nation, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both the young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith Yah, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yah, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there, hope, and there is hope in thine end, saith Yah, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yah, my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yah. Set thee up waymarks. Make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yah has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel. As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yah bless thee, O habitation of justice, and in mountains of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbands, and they that go forth with the flock. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awake, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yah. In those days there shall say no more, the father have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their heart, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever, saith Yah. If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that the city shall be built to Yah from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corn. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gered, and shall compass about to go, and the whole valley of dead bodies, and of the ashes, and all the fields into the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate, shall be holy unto Yah. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Just a minute. All right. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of Acts. Now, we're going to actually start in the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Messiah was saying this to his disciples when they had come into Samaria. And he had sent 70 others before him to go wherever he would go. And so he told his disciples that they were going to reap where they had not sowed. And in this case, it was Samaria. This day of Pentecost is about the harvest of the Most High, and the harvesting of his saints. So we are still sowing into the kingdom. The harvest is going to come. And when the harvest comes, all that belong to the Most High, he's going to harvest. But he's going to first remove the wicked. We got to understand that. But he's going to first remove the wicked. And so let us go and look at how this was prepared. We're going to go back to the book of Acts. We have already read the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Through 16. We're going to pick it up in verse 17. We know that on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Most High came down. Let's read those first couple of verses. Then we'll go to verse 17. The book of Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, we talked about this last night and this morning. We know that the men began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the people were amazed. And the word spread real fast, you know, because this commotion. And as the people came, they were confounded because they were hearing them speak in their own tongue, in the language and where they were born. And they were not all born in Israel, but they were born from all these other nations. And they had been brought to, the Most High made sure that they were in Jerusalem for this Pentecost. They were devout men. They were also proselytes, converts, people who had heard about Israel, who wanted to be close to the Most High, who wanted to keep the feast days and his Sabbath, keep his statutes, laws, and commandments, and they converted. And their men were circumcised. And they came close. The people were, you know, they were like, these men are drunk. And Peter stood up and said, no, we're not drunk, as you suppose, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let's go to verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yah Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This day is coming. I truly believe that this particular passage is speaking about the day of Yah, the day of the Lord, the day of Yah, when he comes back for vengeance. So before that time, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, even on my servants and my handmaidens. I'm going to pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yah come. That's speaking of the day of the Lord, before he returns with vengeance. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Elohim has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be beholden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw Yah always before my face, for he is on the right hand that I should not be moved. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. David said, I got a glimpse to see what was going to happen. And I knew that the Most High would never forsake us. Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer my Holy One to see corruption. I'm not going to leave him in the grave, and I'm not going to let his body start to rot, see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So he's trying to assure them that this is not talking about David, that David was being prophetic. David saw corruption. So when they were, is evidently there was some type of debate in those days concerning this, that when they read these passages, they thought that it was David not going to see corruption. But he said, hey, David is both dead and buried, and he saw corruption. So this is not talking about David. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua has Elohim raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Now, go to John chapter 2 for a minute. I believe it's John chapter 2. Hold on a second. Okay, give me a 1 minute here. Let me find what I'm looking for. Good grief. Maybe it's John chapter 1, what I'm looking for. Let's go to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. We'll start in verse 32. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Elohim. So John sees that Messiah is the one that baptizes with the Ruach. He is the one that gives the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is authorized from the position of Son. He is the one that baptizes with the Spirit of the Father. And so we have to understand this as we're reading in Acts chapter 2. It is Messiah that is the one that baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh. And this was given to him from that position of Son to do this work. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. And let's get verse 2. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up after, until the day in which he was taken up, Acts chapter 1 verse 2. After that, he through the Holy Ghost has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So how does he communicate with them? By what Spirit? Through the Ruach HaKodesh, the same Spirit that was in him. He now uses that Spirit to communicate with us. And you got to have this Spirit to communicate with him. This is how he sends his command. When we are filled with the Spirit of the Father, then it's by that self-same Spirit which he had, which is still a part of him, which is him, he talks to us. So on the day of Pentecost, when this Spirit was released, it was released at the commandment of Messiah. It is he who is authorized to fill us with the Holy Spirit. It's he who baptizes us in it. Back to Acts chapter 2. And let's go back to verse 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua has Elohim raised up, wherefore, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. He has shed forth this, who? Messiah. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he said himself, Yah said unto my Yah, sits out on my right hand. Until I make my thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made the same Yeshua whom you have crucified, both Master and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. When they heard that this about Messiah, this, as I explained before, this prick is like a spear. And if you ever look at any of those old Roman movies where they have these those lances that they that the soldiers walk with, let me turn this off. This, the lances that the soldier walked with, that was called a prick. And they would either ride on a horse or they would charge you with it and bust you in the chest with it, and it would bust your heart. So it's saying that their hearts were burst. They were overcome. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to that and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. So we got to understand that this started in this day, but it was going to go on for some time. Even as many as the Most High Elohim shall call. Thank Yah that he is still calling people. Because when he stops calling, then you can't get in anymore. No amount of repentance will get you in, because he will have stopped calling. I got who I need. You didn't make up your mind soon enough. Oh, you never heard. We got to understand this. That there is a set number that Yah has called, and he has, it's not the 144,000 either. Because when you go to Revelation, in the throne, under the throne, there is a number that can't be numbered. You get 144,000 is numbered. He said there's a number that can't be numbered that are under the throne. And they are the ones that were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They are the ones that chose the Most High. They truly repented of their sin, realized who it is that they sinned against, and were truly sorry and turned away, and submitted themselves and were filled with the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that make it. This is the only way into the kingdom. The only way must be born of water. Repent and be baptized. It doesn't say be baptized by water and of spirit here. It just says repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But Messiah said you must be born of water, and you must be born of spirit. And so people were being baptized of water. And even people, John came preparing the way, baptizing the people. He baptized all of Israel, all that would come out, to repent, to make straight their ways before Messiah arrived. That's why the Pharisees sent people to him and said, hey, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? Are you the Messiah? And see, they didn't even really realize that Messiah and that prophet were the same individual. They were looking for two different individuals. That prophet, are you him? The one that Moses talked about? Are you the Messiah? They thought they were separate, that it was the same entity, the same person, fulfilling both of those roles. So when John was baptizing, and along comes Messiah, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of Yah, which takes away the sins of the world. This is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost." In Acts chapter 1, we read where he says, "When he left and returned on high, he through the Holy Ghost gave commandments." You want to hear from Messiah today? You need the Ruach. It is he that gives it. It's the mechanism he uses to talk to his saints, to answer their prayers, to hear their pleas, to do intercession for us. Let's continue. This promise is still alive today. That's why we have to continue to go forth. We have to be able to reach out to as many as Yah has called. We can't reach them all, but he's going to send people that so that as many as he should call, they shall hear the word of Yah. He's not going to force them, anyone, to take up this mantle. That's why he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because it's up to the individual. Yah is not going to do a forceful takeover. You don't want him, then he don't want you. You are on the ropes about whether you want him, then he don't want you. We have to know in our heart of hearts that this is who and what we want. It is much better when we desire these things as a child, because then we can have the proper hunger from our youth. But if we are not taught as children to seek after this, then we come to it later in life. We come out of Babylon, we come out of confusion, and we hear. At the time that we hear, then we have to commit ourselves. And we want to get in. We want our citizenship. We want to go to work for the Most High. Because trust me, nobody gets to come in and just sit down. You got to be willing to put your hand to the plow, to do the work. This is what it's all about. And we all get paid the same thing. Don't matter what time we came in. If you came in from your youth, you get the same pay as somebody that came in when they were 70. So we have to understand that it's all about getting in. It doesn't matter when you get in. But we all know tomorrow is not promised to us, so if we're young or if we're old, doesn't matter. We don't want to waste any time in getting our citizenship, because at any time we could be called home. At any time, something could happen. Y'all can say, you know what? You accepted today, I filled you, but you know what? I know in 3 days' time you're going to do something that's going to cause you to lose, and he take you home before you lose. Or he says, you know what? I'm going to allow you to do that. I'm going to allow you to do what you're going to do, and I may or may not forgive you. Let me see what you're going to do. Something's not clear about you. But the truth of the matter is, he already knows who's late and who's not. But we still got to go through this. Imagine that. The Most High already knows whether you're in the kingdom or not. You don't know. I don't know. But he knows, and he's still going to allow us to make the choices we have to make and go through the things that we have to go through for our perfecting. We're just waiting to catch up to that time. So sometime now, whatever time that is in the future, if you have done what you're supposed to do, you're already in the kingdom. You're already there, and you're already before the Most High. He's already talking to you. But in this present day and time, you don't know that yet. And so all the trials and the tribulations you still have to go through to be perfected. And there's a verse that says that he will not any temptation on you for which he doesn't provide a way out. And when you read that, you might say, well, I can fall. You can fall to a certain degree, but you can't fall for that temptation because he did what? He made a way out of it that you wouldn't have to fall. But no matter what, even if you fall, get back up and keep going toward the Most High. No matter what. You see, we can be taken in a fall, but we still cannot have a change of heart toward him. Most High, I fell short. Yet will I serve you. Yet will I seek after you. But this is how it all starts right here. Repentance. Turning away. Doing those things that are pleasing to the Most High Elohim. Let's finish up chapter 2. Verse 39. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call, and with many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, untoward the Most High. They are not going toward him, moving away. Man has still been doing that for 2,000 years. And each generation, the Most High is looking for those who will. Until it's the time where he says, this is the last generation of man that I'm going to make a call out of. But each generation, the people born into that generation had the chance to come to the Most High. And then there will come the last generation. And this is what Israel thought from the beginning. They thought that they were the last generation, the first and the last. They thought that the Most High was going to restore the kingdom of Israel at that time. And Messiah had to come and show them and tell them and expound to them. Let us go to the book of John, chapter 4. First John, chapter 4. The book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. The book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He has given us his Spirit. By my Spirit. Messiah is the one authorized to give the Spirit of the Father, the Ruach HaKodesh. Make this one a son. Make that one a son. Make this one your child. Make that one your child. I've seen this one's heart. I've seen their struggles, and I see how they are faithful, and they always count on me. I see how when they have fallen, they have repented and turned back toward me. He's given us his spirit. And the scriptures just say it in too many different places. He has given us his spirit. And so once we receive his spirit, the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. Now. And each and every one of us have to learn to walk in the now. If Yah filled you with his Ruach, then you need to walk as a child of Yah now. Not be waiting to become or to fulfill or something else to happen. You have to take up your mantle. You have to realize who you are and what you are and how special you are. It's not something that we take lightly. You know, people say, I'm a child of God, and it's like, no big deal. And I don't understand that. If they really understood whose child they're claiming to be. Oh, we are all children of the Most High. No, we are not. Everybody is not a child of the Most High. He selects you, and he fills you with his Ruach. You got to know just how special this citizenship is and how you can't be doing anything to tarnish it. See, we just take too much stuff for granted. And we don't take into account who we represent. We don't do it. We take this, I'm a child of the Most High, or we're all children of the Most High, and we generalize it so much that it don't mean anything. But it is this is the most special position you could ever have, ever, throughout all eternity. And it's not something that we should take lightly at all. Let me look up one scripture here. Just came to mind. Give me a hot second. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start in verse 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 6. If you belong to the Most High, and when you mess up, you can expect to be chastised. If you're not being chastised, if you're messing up and nothing is happening, no type of punishment seems to come. If he's not chastising you, let's see what scripture says, starting in verse 6. For whom Yah loveth, he chastises and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastising, Elohim dealeth with you as sons. And for what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not son. So if you doing dirt and you getting away with it and ain't nothing happening, you ought to really feel something is wrong. Why is y'all not chastising me? Why is I'm doing wrong and no correction is coming? I feel guilty, but no correction is coming from anywhere. That should be a sign to us. Okay. So we want to be, if we fall, if we do something wrong, we want to be what? Chastised. We don't want to be doing wrong and nothing, no correction comes. But then it says we're bastards. We're claiming to be his, but we're not because he ain't chastising us because, hate to say it this way, but he don't love us. Just hate to say it that way, but that's what the scripture said. Whom he loveth, he chastises. He corrects them. If you're doing wrong and ain't no correction coming, then you might want to fall on your knees and ask, why? Let's go back. Understand that this is critical. He has given us his spirit. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. This is to all these pastors out here and these teachers. The book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of Elohim, which he has purchased with his own blood. There's only one Elohim. When he walked this earth as Yeshua HaMashiach, and did the work that he did, he purchased the church with his own blood. He says for us to take heed. All those who call themselves teachers or pastors or our leaders, we have to be very careful what we teach and what we say. Because the Most High has given us oversight to feed his church, whom he has purchased. Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ, Yeshua, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You know, that just brought a thought back to me. Early this morning, as I was laying in the bed, and I was thinking on these precepts, and I was asking the Most High different questions, and he was showing me that we, our forefathers, turned him over to another nation. And this is kind of totally unrelated, but it just came back to my mind. The Most High showed me that our forefathers turned him over to another nation to be killed. And the way that they brutalized him, because they weren't his brethren, they did have no respect of him as a person. This was Israel's Messiah. He was Messiah to the world, but the world didn't know anything about him yet. But our forefathers turned him over to one of another nation, and they brutalized him. And then he says, now you understand why you're in another nation. I turned you over to another nation. Now you know why they brutalize you. Another insight into this, another aspect of the curse. Because our forefathers said, his blood be on us and on our children. So the same thing that Messiah has gone through, we have gone through as a people. But it's a punishment for us. But when he showed me that, it kind of freaked me out, really. Because it's like, we turned him over, and he turned us over. And that's why it's so important that we repent for the sins of our forefathers, what they did, and for our own sins. that we enter into the kingdom and that we don't be all puffed up about this thing. And at the day that Yah says, come on in, the day that he fills us with his Ruach and he selects us, this is a very special day. Because when we think about it, of all the peoples of the earth, if we make it in, we should be rejoicing with everything that we have. Seriously, we should. We turned our king over to another nation and let them brutalize him. And he allowed it because he loved us. He went through it because he loved us. Let's continue. Our Savior, I need to do this work. Our Redeemer, I need to go through this. You, my people, you're turning me over to another nation to kill me. And not just kill me. It's not like they just stuck a spear in my heart and it was over. They brutalized me and you helped them brutalize me. And so why it makes so much more sense to me that he says, do this in remembrance of my death. Remember what a cruel death that I died. Don't be all joyous and happy about that. Because I was none too happy having to go through it. Yet I endured it. Let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 24. And we're going to get verses 21 through 29. The book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 21 through 29. But we trusted that it had been, now this is his disciples talking. I want you to hear what they're saying, what they're going to say to Messiah. And then hear his response back to them. But we trusted, now this is his disciples talking, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted that it was him. We believed that he was going to redeem Israel. And beside all this day, today is the third day since these things were done. So they're talking about they have watched him be crucified. And they're talking about we believed he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. But they didn't believe that it had happened. And this is the third day since he had been crucified. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them that which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. So the women saw Messiah, but not these men when they went. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So we can see, even after Messiah was crucified, his disciples were still in doubt. And they were still looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for the restoration of Israel, the deliverance from the Romans. We thought he was the one. And so now he's got to teach them concerning himself in the scriptures after he has resurrected. He has appeared to them to open up this kingdom. But even they, from the very beginning, were weak. They walked in unbelief. They walked in no understanding. And we better thank Elohim that he has allowed the scriptures to be written, that we can have a record, that we can see the frailties in all men, even those that walk with him. And he says they should have believed the scripture about him. But they didn't. And how many people today, even on the day of Pentecost, are at church, and they're celebrating this day but don't even really know what it's about? Just another feast day that they were told to celebrate. Holy to the Christian world, holy to the Hebrew Israelites, but still they're keeping it and celebrating it in ignorance, just like his disciples. Let's continue. Verse 25 again. Then he said unto them, O fool, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So understand that even his disciples, had he not taken the 40 days to explain to them all the things concerning himself and the kingdom, that's why they scattered when he was crucified. They were with him, you know, for the miracles. They saw the works he did. But I'm telling you, when you read these scriptures, they walked in unbelief most of the time. They didn't understand who they were with. And even when, I believe it was Peter said, who do men say that I am? Some say a prophet. Who do you say I am? You are the Son of the living God. He said, the Most High had to reveal that to you. But all the rest, they really didn't know it, and Peter really didn't know it, except for it was prophesied by the Ruach HaKodesh, given to him to say. So after he has been crucified and he's risen and he gathers them, they need power. They need reinforcement. He says, go. I've been teaching you 40 days. Time for me to go. Go into Jerusalem and tarry there, wait there, and you shall receive power. Now I say to each of you, if you're studying the scriptures, you study the lives of the apostles, you look at how they act, look at how they react in all the situations. Look how they walked in unbelief at the time. Look how they abandoned Messiah on the night that he was taken. You will understand that they were weak men. It is not until they receive the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh that they change. They receive power. They receive their boldness. If you find yourself timid about this word, if you find yourself not comfortable with sharing it with people, not sharing the gospel, you might be in the same condition that the apostles were in before they received power. Because the Spirit is going to give you boldness to speak this gospel to whomever. The apostles were weak, and he said, oh, you, oh, thou fool. You walk with me these 3 years, and you still ain't got no faith. Here we are 2,000 years removed, and we wonder why people are walking in weakness. We wonder why it's hard for them to come into and to accept that it's by his spirit. Because see, we really want the easy way in. If I say the sinner's prayer, according to the churches, I'm saved and I'm in. You will not find the sinner's prayer in Scripture. There is no such formula. And this is the only way in by his spirit. The men that walk with Messiah, that saw the miracle, that even themselves were given the Ruach to go do certain work, even with the Ruach, when Messiah was taken from them, they scattered. We have to understand that we need the Ruach, because when it was taken from them, they went out and did that work, they came back. It was a temporary filling. And they come back saying, oh, even the devils are subject to us. They had to get on them about that. But when we are trying to do this thing on our own, without the help of the Most High, trust, you're going to always, always, constantly just like his disciples did. And they were with him. The book of Luke, chapter 2. Verse 10, the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, or Yeshua HaMashiach. Messiah says, I'm your Savior. Your Savior has been born into the world. I want us to take this from the perspective that we were alive back in those days before Messiah came, and that we were readers of the law. We were readers of the scriptures. We were hearers of the scriptures. If we had any type of expectation, the Most High said, I am your Savior. When they are told that their Savior is born, then they would have expected that to be should have expected that to be Messiah. And how they didn't recognize this, even as the shepherds were told, and the shepherds went around telling everybody that the Messiah had been born. The angels had testified to them that, hey, this is the son of Elohim. This is the promised one. Herod even tried to kill him. Sent to Ramah or to Bethlehem, and killed all the babies 2 years old and younger to try to kill Messiah. So how is it that they forgot? How is it that the scribes and the Pharisees, they would have been consulted by Herod? Is there a city that a king is supposed to be born in? Oh, yeah, Bethlehem. That's how he knew to go to Bethlehem. How is it some 30 years later, they can't go back and pull up in their mind or in their conscience? Somebody had to say, remember when But it's like this would have been utterly obliterated from their conscience, that their king had been born, and that the earthly king had tried to kill him. Probably thought he got away with it, killing him. But even the king, Herod, and he was, at that time, he was an Edomite. So the scripture says he was from Edom. He didn't want to give up his kingship. He'd rather rule for that little bit of time that he had than to submit to the Most High Elohim, who is their real king. They knew who the real king was. Israel has always known that, but they wanted the king they could see. The king that they can see is here. He's walking among them. They have crucified him. And he said, all this was necessary, that I might make a way for you to enter into my kingdom. Each and every one of us has to understand this. The book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. Verse 40 through 42. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 40 through 42. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the woman of Samaria. And Messiah told her to go get her husband. She said, hey, I'm not married. He says, you have spoken truthfully. You have had 5 husbands, and the one you with is not your husband. And so she perceives that, hey, you are a prophet or something. But see, what you got to also understand, we have to understand from the scriptures, Messiah said that he would send some men ahead of him into every city in which he had to go into. And these men have already been here talking to them about Messiah. And this woman has heard this thing. And even the people of the city of Samaria. And so she's got a kind of an idea of what Messiah is supposed to come and do. Because some of these 70s have come through this. And so she's having this dialogue with him. Now, he tells her clearly who he is. I am the Messiah. I am the one that gives you the living water. And we got to understand that, so this woman of Samaria was a woman of Samaria like you are a woman of America. That does not tell what your lineage is. That does not tell what your bloodline is. If somebody say, oh, there goes an American woman, you can't tell what color she is, how tall she is, what color eyes she has. You can't tell anything about her with that description. So when the scriptures say that woman of Samaria, we just automatically assume that this is an Assyrian. But she testifies of herself that Jacob is her grandfather or great-grandfather. Messiah tells her, because he knows who he's coming to. He wouldn't tell the apostles, not the apostles, he wouldn't tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I come unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he tells this woman of Samaria, I am he. I am the one you're waiting for. And then when he goes and talks to the people in the city, after he testifies to them, they believe. This is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Our Messiah came and he did what he was supposed to do. The lost sheep, he knew where they were at. So he said, I must need go through Samaria. He knew where they were at, and he came to offer them the kingdom, the chance that they might come back to Jerusalem and keep the Passover and keep the Pentecost and keep tabernacles, because they weren't doing it. They were considered outcasts and dogs by Judah. That's why when he asked her, give me a drink of water, you being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Y'all loathe us. Y'all don't want to have nothing to do with us. But this is who Messiah said he came for. So he gives her the gospel, and he opens up the kingdom to her and to those people in those cities. That they might come back into the fold. And you got to know that our forefathers, they would have not been happy with that. They would have still shunned them. But on the day of Pentecost, they had just as much a right. All those that repented had just as much a right to come and enter into the kingdom, to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. All they had to do was repent and be baptized and receive the Ruach HaKodesh. And our forefathers would have been dead against them. Notice for sure. We celebrate this Pentecost because Yah has opened this thing up to everyone. Anyone and everyone that agrees that they want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, they accept Messiah as their Savior, and they are baptized in his name and then filled with the Spirit of the Father. Because that's the only way I'm going to get my laws into you and on your heart by my Spirit. I tried to scare it into you, and it didn't work. So not by my might, and not by my power. Let me do what I intended to do all along. Let me myself enter into you. Let me possess you. Not like an unclean spirit. The Spirit of the Most High. Let me enter in, literally. Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians chapter 3, and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach. That's where we have to be looking toward. Our high priest, as we read on Friday night, is not here on earth. He's in the heavens. And that's where our hope is at, in the heavens. That's where our Savior is at. He's everything to us. First Timothy, the book of First Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be verses 1 through 3. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the commandments of Elohim, our Savior, which is read that Christ was our Savior, Elohim, our Savior, and Yeshua HaMashiach, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from Elohim our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord or our Master. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Elohim, our Savior. Christ, our Savior. There's only one doctrine. There's only one true doctrine. We, as his people, as citizens of his kingdom, must understand that doctrine. That's what I said last night. We have to understand the doctrine of Christ. We want to bring people into right relationship with the Most High? Want to get them into their citizenship? The doctrine is, the Most High said, I'm going to do this by my spirit. And without my spirit, you are not mine. Every person coming in has to know that from the start, has to be encouraged to seek after the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh. That expectation should have been set from the very beginning. You need to be born again of the Spirit of the Most High, and this is how it is done. Seek after that first. Citizenship. It don't have to happen on Pentecost. It can happen any time during the year, but this is the day that it was released to all mankind, and this is the day that the Most High said we would celebrate it. But we shouldn't be saying, oh, it's a feast day coming up, and so I'm going to get right. We should be saying, I'm going to get right now. Whenever that time in the year is, whenever we realize that we are out of whack, that we are not in tune with the Most High. If we are doing things that has caused the Spirit of Yah to leave us, and we know if we've done it because you feel it. You can feel it, a lack. Then it's definitely time to repent and turn back toward the Most High. And though we die, if we die and he never accepted us back, at least we died trying. Because we should give ourselves every chance in the world to make it in. Let's continue. Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living Elohim, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Your belief should bolster your faith. But as I said this morning, we want to get past the point of belief. We want to come to the knowing. I really believe that everybody should have an experience of knowing, because it's what's going to keep you. It'll keep you from teetering. But you believe. You might hear something over here sounds good. You go over there. And you with that for a minute. Then some, you're going through something, and somebody over here says something that sounds good over there. So you go over there because you believe it sounds good. But what you know, that is solid. That is your foundation of which you stand on. That can't be changed in you. Nobody can convince you otherwise. Because you know it. Messiah said belief is enough. But if you want to know for sure, put yourself and get yourself in a place of knowing. This Pentecost is a good time. to go before the Most High Elohim. And to ask him for those things that will reassure you that you belong to him. And if you belong to him, then let's walk accordingly. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ, Yeshua, also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. We should examine the life of Messiah and endeavor to make ourselves like him, always counting on the Father, being filled with the Father. I and my Father are one. When Yah comes and he resides in us, we become one with him. And he will deal with us as children. If we start to sway in the wrong direction, he will correct us. If we keep our hearts on him, he will make sure that we make it in. All we got to do is be in tune to him. We know what the things that we do that we ought not do. If we don't, then we know we haven't been chastised. We're not being convicted. But if we're being convicted, but we are not moving, we are not changing, we are not being corrected, we keep going back and doing the same things over and over again and saying, Father, forgive me. That's not the kind of stuff that he wants to hear. I myself, I'll be truthful with you, I don't want to give us no wiggle room. Because when we get wiggle room, we wiggle. And we struggle. Who wants to be in a life that they're constantly struggling? It's torment. Every time we do wrong, you know, you get into the habit of doing wrong, saying I'm sorry, and then you fall again, you say I'm sorry, and then you fall again, and you say I'm sorry, you become callous to it, you become insensitive to it. It becomes easier and easier to do. So I don't want to give any wiggle room, because I know how we are. We become insensitive to what Messiah has done. And we start taking it for granted. We start making excuses so that we can be weak, so we can succumb to our weakness. Instead of giving it to Yah and asking him for a way out of it, we yield to it. So I don't like giving wiggle room. Let me help you stay on the straight and narrow. I think we read this one. No, Book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Elohim and an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, according to the faith of Elohim's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, I hope of eternal life, which Elohim, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through the preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of Elohim our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from Elohim our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach our Savior. God our Savior, Yeshua our Savior. Chapter 2 and verse 10. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. Not purloin, but showing all good fidelity, Let's look up this word purloin for a minute. Let me see what that means. Exactly what it means. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Titus 2 and verse 10. Purloin. That is the Greek word to sequester from oneself, to keep back. Not keeping back, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of Elohim, our Savior, in all things. So not holding back, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of Elohim, our Savior, in all things. Was it the Most High saying how he was going to do this thing? What is his doctrine concerning it? One verse, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Elohim. That's how I'm going to do everything. That's how I'm going to save you. That's how I'm going to bring you into the kingdom. That's how I make you my child. That's how I heal you. That's how I make you whole. By my spirit. I'm so thankful that the Most High put in place a way that he would share himself with us, literally share himself, not tell us about himself, not show us his might, not show us his power, but he says, I'm going to literally pour out of myself into you. That's his doctrine. And that's what every creature, every man, woman, and child on the planet should be seeking after. The infilling of the Spirit of the Most High. The book of 1 Peter. No, actually, I'm not finished with that one. Titus chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of Elohim that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Soberly, not getting drunk or high. Righteously, doing the right thing. And godly, making righteous judgment in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. See, a lot of times I think in the scriptures, it's hard for us to discern what I call compound titles. When it uses the title God, and it says and, we think of God as being this entity over here and Messiah being this entity over here. But it's really a compound title. Like, I think of a good one that we might use. Compound title talking about the same entity. But when we read it, it sounds like it's two. And sometimes when I read, I'm like, oh, that sounds like two. But I know and I'm convinced that there's only one, and he's doing everything. But it's written this way. Because he wants us to keep the works separate. That which is attributed to him in the flesh, he wants to get secret from that which he has done in creation. And he has made both of them equal. Both of them equal. Let's continue. First Peter, chapter 1. The book of First Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The prophets were testifying to this. They wanted to know, when was this going to happen? What is the time in the scriptures for this to happen? They were inquiring about it. They were wondering, even the prophets themselves that had been told, but they weren't given everything, and they could, even with Daniel and a couple of others of them, John, when they were shown through to the end, there were some things they were told, hey, you can't tell that. Daniel, shut up the book. John, don't write down what the seven thunders said. Certain things they couldn't tell. All the other prophets, they weren't shown all this stuff. And they were even wondering, even the stuff that they were shown about Messiah, when? When is this going to happen? We see the fulfillment of it. We see what he did and what he came and what he did. They wanted to know, what time was this going to happen? Testify beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. But they didn't know when it was going to happen. They just knew it was going to happen. The book of Jude. Jude 25. To the only Elohim, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The Most High came into this world, walked among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. This is how he said he wanted us to know him. Came and allowed us to crucify him, that we might enter into his kingdom. He says, now, if you can accept my work on the cross, and if you will truly repent of your sin, then I fill you with the Ruach HaKodesh. And this is your access into the kingdom. This is your citizenship. This is also your sonship. You got to be a son to be a citizen. Native born. I didn't say Hebrew born. I said native born. When we are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, don't matter what race we come from, don't matter what people we come from, we become native born into the kingdom. Into the kingdom of the Father. On the day of Pentecost, when the Ruach HaKodesh came down in the sound of a rushing mighty wind and sat upon all the apostles, the door was open for each and every one of us to come, to enter into, to be filled with the Spirit of Yah Elohim, the same Spirit that was in Christ. Had not Messiah come and had been faithful, what if in the form of Messiah, the Most High says, you know what, stiff-necked, hard-headed, disobedient, so-and-so, I changed my mind. It's not like the Most High never changed his mind. Israel, when I read this in the scripture, Israel caused the Most High. He said, you caused me to breach my word. You caused me to have a change of heart toward the promise I made to you. I brought you out of Egypt, and I was going to bring you all into the promised land. But then y'all want to believe the ill report. Y'all want to believe the negative report brought back by the ten. We can't take the land. There's giants in the land. We'd be like grasshoppers to them. They believe the negative reports, and the Most High says, you caused me to breach my promise because I'm not taking you all in now. I changed my mind. What if he did that concerning us in salvation? He looked at us and said, wow, you were just so wicked, so evil. I changed my mind. I'm not giving salvation to none of y'all. And he left that door open for us. And even after we turned him over, as I said, when he showed me this, to one of another nation, and how those people of that other nation had no respect of him, but even our own people had no respect of him. If you be the Messiah, come down off of that cross and save yourself. Our forefathers told him that. After he had been a crown of thorns put on his head and beat into his head, after he had been whipped and his back opened up, 40 lashes, fun of, ridiculed, and he still went through it. And then on top of that, after they see he's dead, let's make sure he's dead. Let's stick him with the spear. I'll tell you the vision that the Most High gave me this morning concerning this. And I want you to excuse my speech, okay, because I don't really talk like this. But it was coming into my spirit to say that the news came on, and they just showed a black man getting shot 40 times, and the men who shot him had braided a crown of barbed wire and stuck it on his head, this black man, and then beat him over the head with broomsticks, shot him 40 times. And then after they had shot him 40 times for good measure, they stabbed him in the heart with a bar of rebar. That steel that goes in the concrete, just in case. The whole black community, and then put a sign over his head. King of the niggers. Not niggers, niggers. How do you think the black community would react to? We would be in the street rioting, fighting, burning up everything. But when we think back on what our Messiah went through, it don't hardly cause an emotion. Let it happen to somebody that wasn't even worthy. He was just, it's just said that he's been killed by some white folks. And they put this sign over his head, and they did all these things to him. We would be tearing up stuff. But when it comes to our Messiah and the things that he was put through by our forefathers, people celebrated. People celebrated. It says, this is not something that I want you to celebrate in that way. So let us consider this Pentecost. We are excited that Yeshua and the work that he did for us. You should be even more excited if you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, because everybody is not. And this should be a day of celebration. But I want us to appreciate, number one, what our Messiah went through. Number two, the mechanism that the Most High said that he does this by. Because anybody that you get to come in that you are witnessing to, you must tell them the right way to come in. Don't tell them this nonsense about saying the sinner's prayer and saying I'm sorry and then they're all good. It's not how the Most High said he's going to do it. I'm going to do it by my spirit, and I'm going to fill them by my spirit. I'm going to write my laws in their heart by my spirit. I'm going to make them my sons, my daughters, my children by my spirit. This is the way in, and it's the only way in. And this is what we should be celebrating. When we have the Feast of Pentecost tomorrow, have your wine and have your unleavened bread, because it is a cause for celebration. It's also a cause to remember Messiah and what he did. Without him, this day don't exist. So what he did at Passover opens up this day. It opens it up to all mankind. And we have to tell them the proper way to get into the kingdom. Brother, you can keep all the law you want, and you can do all the righteous works you want. But if you have not submitted yourself, because you can do good works because you think they need to be done, don't mean that you are in submission to the Most High. You're trying to do them because it makes you look good. That's why he says, by your works, you can't get in. Because if you're doing it because you've been doing all these works and you think that these works qualify you, then you don't have any need of Messiah. So he says, it's by my spirit. And you have to submit yourself to my spirit. You got to open yourself up to me. And this is the only way in. This is my plan from the beginning. David, what house shall you build me? Seeing my hands have done all this work. Seeing I have created everything. What house are you going to build me? Don't you think I done built me a house already? But since, you know, it's a good thing that you consider building me a house. But I've already built my house. It was Adam and it was Eve. And it was all of mankind to come out of them. I wanted to dwell in you from the beginning. You are my temple. You are my dwelling place. I came to save you so that I could fulfill the work that I have said from the very beginning. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit? We have to tell and teach people the correct way into the kingdom, because you can be doing some things and you're still going to the lake. So let us be of the mind, anybody that we know, and everybody that we know, let them know that it is of utmost importance. The most important thing in their life ever, that they get filled with the spirit of the Most High Elohim. That should be first and foremost, period. You need the spirit of the Most High. You are none of his if you don't have it. You got to be willing to tell people that. Don't try to make it all flowery and sunshine and roses and all this stuff. It is too critical for that. Truth of the matter be known, think about it this way. If they don't want the Spirit of the Most High, what does that really say about them? If they don't think that either they themselves are worthy, then show them what qualifies them. But if they themselves don't think that Yah is worthy, or should even do that, then understand that they are reprobate. But you and I have to go forth with the true gospel of the kingdom. Yah is saving people by his Spirit. And if he don't find his Spirit in them, they are none of his. You have to tell them that. It is your duty. Don't be setting false or fake expectations for them that will cause them to fall short. You need the Father. You need him literally. You need to be filled with him, literally. Tell them. This is what he said he's going to do. By my Spirit. And so we ought to be excited to tell people. You want to come into the kingdom? You want your citizenship? This is all you got to do. Repent and be baptized. And submit yourself to the Father. Seek his Spirit. Seek his infilling. That is the formula. That is the only way in. Once you are filled, this is what James had a problem with. Because Paul was saying, hey, that's all you need. And James said, hey, works, faith without works is what? Dead. Once you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, you must do good work. You must keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. You must obey. Got to. So we celebrate our citizenship in the kingdom. So have your wine or grape juice. Have your unleavened bread or your wafers tomorrow. Take the time to cook you a meal. It's a feast. You can celebrate. It is like the 4th of July. You know, if we're together, we probably shoot off fireworks and stuff like that. But this citizenship is the most important citizenship that anybody could ever have. Mankind, period. Don't matter what country they're in. Don't matter what nation they belong to, this should be a day of celebration. This should be a day of celebration throughout all the world by every Christian, every believer who has been filled. But, I really do want to reiterate that. Make sure that you know that you know. Don't make excuses. I say this all the time. If we are unsure, then make your salvation sure. Go before the Most High and ask him for his Spirit. This is how he said he's going to do it. Yeah, I need your Spirit. I need you to feel me right now. I need to feel your presence. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them. I turn towards you, holy, 100% with everything that I am. Now choose me. Be like that woman he talks about in the scripture who bugs the judge that is not giving righteous judgment, but she keeps bugging him until he rules for her. Keep bugging Yah for his spirit. I'm not going to give up. We have to want this with everything that is within us. This is what you should be teaching people. Your mother, your father, your grandchild, your uncle, your aunt, your sister, your brother. Anybody that's in your life, their salvation should be of uttermost importance to you. And if they refuse it, there's nothing you can do, but at least you tried. Tell them the truth. If they're going to church or to camp every Sabbath or every Sunday, but you know that they're really not living the life, and you know you don't really see any evidence of the Ruach except for they're going to church, tell them it is your duty. Tell them the truth. You need to be filled with the Ruach. Yeah, you went down in that water and you came up. But you need the second piece of this baptism. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We know what spirit that is now. There should be no doubt in any of us what spirit that is. I retaught this morning because, as I said, there's some teachers out there that have taught this thing in such a way that people believe that, hey, all I got to do is read the word of Yah. I'm full of the Spirit. All I got to do is say it in sinner's prayer, and I'm good to go. Fake speaking in tongues. Then later on, how do I say this? Made fun of it because they had faked it. They thought everybody faked it. And when they see somebody speaking in tongues or hear them speaking in tongues, then they want to ridicule them. I said, don't do that. I said, there are some people out there who fake. There are some people who were taught to speak in tongues. You can't be taught to speak in tongues. That is not how it happens. And I said, yes, when you know of that, then you have to come against that because that is wicked. That's teaching people to be deceivers. But open your heart and open your mouth and let Yah speak through you. Open your mouth and worship him. And you may be surprised what comes out. Let it just happen. So we're going to celebrate Messiah on tomorrow. We're going to celebrate this work. Celebrate our Independence Day. Our Citizenship Day. Come prepared to praise Yah. To lift him up and to thank him for making this possible. Because he didn't have to do it. And we were so evil and so wicked, our forefathers. I thank Yah. You know, I'm going to have to show you guys that verse because you probably don't believe what I said. You probably do, but I want you to see that. Brother Miles didn't make this up. Yah says, our people caused them to breach his promise, to break his word. And I just could imagine if Yah had done that again, said, y'all are so wicked, so evil, your thoughts are evil continually, just like before the flood. But he didn't, and I'm so thankful. As I said this morning, when Yah fills you with his spirit is not something that you believe. I'm here as a witness to tell you. It's something that you know. There is nothing like it. There's no experience like it. It's like a big positive confirmation in your life. Yah Elohim has accepted me. Do you know what that does to your spirit when you know that? That he has found you, he has found you acceptable. Not some man, not some woman, not your pastor, not your teacher, but Yah himself. Can't nobody take that from you. Can't nobody lift you up like that will lift you up. Can't nobody encourage you like that encouraging you. Like that giving the strength that it gives you. Trust and believe when I say this. There is nothing like it. It changes your whole, just changes you, period. Not that you won't have a wicked thought, because you're still going to fight those. Not that your eyeballs don't stop working, because they're still going to see everything that they've been seeing before. Now that you don't still have that old dictionary. But all these things, the Spirit will start to work on in removing them from you, that you might walk like him. And if you stop resisting him, I don't care what it is, whether it's cigarettes or alcohol or drugs, sex, doesn't matter. He will start taking it away. He will convict you, and if you will listen to the conviction, and if you will submit yourself, it will be gone. And you won't miss it, trust me. You will not miss it. You'd be wondering, what did I see in that all this time? So tell them, show them the proper path in. Don't have them come in and be sitting around believing that they are safe and secure if they haven't done what Messiah requires of them to do, what the word of Yah requires. Don't you be comfortable if you haven't done it. So let us join together tomorrow, 7 p.m., Central Standard Time. Take the time, as I said, make you your favorite dish. Come and sit and sup. Let us make a joyful noise unto Yah Elohim. Let us not be drunk. Let us not be high. Don't bring that. But let us get high on the Most High Elohim and celebrate our Citizenship Day. I wish we were together where we could shoot off fireworks and do all this stuff, because this is something that we are given leeway to celebrate like this. It's a holy convocation, but it's also we pay homage to Messiah, we pay homage to the Most High, and we celebrate our citizenship. And we don't have to be all riotous, you know, doing crazy stuff. But this is, I would have to say, this is the most important feast day. Because you're celebrating your entrance into his kingdom. As a citizen, understand what that means. Do you know that you can petition the Most High for whatever you want, for whatever you have need of? as a citizen of his kingdom. And as your king, he says, I'm obligated. Now, let's not go and ask for no stupid stuff. And if we're asking for stuff, let's ask for stuff that is in relationship to the kingdom, doing the will. Father, we need this. Please provide it to us. If you are struggling, with your finances, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're struggling, then make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Then petition the Father, Father, bless me that I might be able to bless others. Provide me the way. If you are in need of healing in your body, petition the Father as a citizen. This is not just some whimsical thing. It's not some imaginary thing. When you are filled by the Spirit of the Most and you become a citizen in his kingdom, you become a child of his, then you can boldly go before the throne of grace. Boldly go. Father, I have need. I know what you need. Okay, Father, I trust you're going to take care of it. And just believe it and know that it's going to happen. It's what I'm saying. Walk with expectation. Don't be double-minded. Don't walk in doubt. Are members of the greatest kingdom throughout all creation. It wouldn't matter if we were on Mars or on Jupiter or in some other galaxy or universe. Understand this, that the kingdom of heaven still rules them all. Because our Elohim created them all. So it is the greatest kingdom anywhere. Go outside and look up into the stars. How many other life forms do you think the Most High created that we just don't know about? We just don't know it. And how many of them do you think might be way older than the earth? But Yah said he chose us. Think about what that means. He created it all. But you are my children. Something else comes here from another world. The Most High created it. But he didn't select them. He didn't choose them. He chose us. Understand the kingdom that you're a part of and how important it is. And that how important it is that you help others into it. The right way. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We thank you for having the mind to lower yourself, to our levels, to come and see about your creation. To become that perfect sacrifice that you require, for us to come back to you. You became one of us. Came in the form of a man did not sin so that the price could be paid for each and every one of us. Only through your wisdom, only through your thoughts, only through your ways is this possible. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for making a way where there was no way for us, for allowing your creation to kill you, that you might open up your kingdom back. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you with everything that is within us. For who are we that you should think upon us this way? Father, we come together tomorrow to celebrate the Pentecost, to celebrate our citizenship within the kingdom. Father, we would that you would send others, and that they might seek entrance into your kingdom, and that they might inquire of us, that we might tell them, this is how you get in. This is what you must do, that we might spread this gospel. Father, we petition you even right now. Help us to be good and faithful citizens. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen. All right. So tomorrow, 7 p.m., we will celebrate the Pentecost. That gives you time to, you know, cook you a meal, get ready. Let's celebrate our Elohim, to celebrate Messiah. We're going to remember what he did for us, but we're also going to celebrate his resurrection and the life that it opens up to us. For this is that day. Until that time, my brothers and sisters, remember, I love you and Yah loves you. Shalom.
there's no need. I need a